We're reading from 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 to 6. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And this is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But if we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself, just as he is pure. Everyone who sins breaks the law. In fact, sin is lawlessness. But you know that he appeared so that he might take away our sins. And in him is no sin. No one who lives in him keeps on sinning. No one who continues to sin has either seen him or known him.
Well, good evening, everyone. Great to have you with us this evening. I wonder if you're someone who follows the news. If you follow the news, then you might, last October, have seen this pair of girls. These girls were in the news. They're called Irina and Anna. And they were all over the newspapers and the news last October. And that was when a court in Russia awarded their families equivalent of $100,000 each. And that was in compensation from the maternity home where they'd been born, because they accidentally switched these two girls at birth. And the girls are now aged 12, and the money's to be used to house them next to each other. And it was during divorce proceedings that it all came to light, because one of the fathers, one man, refused to support his daughter, Irina, because she didn't look like him. She had dark hair and dark eyes, and he didn't. She didn't look like him. So they did a DNA test, and that revealed that neither he nor his wife were actually Irina's biological parents. So off they went and had an official investigation, and they did track down Irina's biological father, a man called Nemat Iskandarov. And he'd been raising Anna as his daughter in a neighbouring town. But of course, all along, she hadn't been his daughter at all. I guess there are quite a lot of people who don't know one or other of their parents. But some people say, well, everyone, whatever that situation may be, everyone is a child of God, aren't they? Well, no. No, that's not true. Not everyone is born as a child of God. Not everyone is born as a Christian. No one is a child of God when he or she arrives in this world. When I was at school, which is quite a long time ago now, up in Scotland, we had an assembly, Christian assembly, every morning. And every morning, I used to parrot the Lord's Prayer with everyone else, Our Father in Heaven. But it wasn't true. God wasn't my father, not then. I didn't become a Christian. I wasn't a child of God until much later, when I was at university. When I was at school, I hadn't yet been born into God's family. Not at that point. Because you see, God is not your father because your parents are Christians. God is not your father because you come to church. God is not your father if you lead a good life. You're only God's child, according to the Bible, you're only God's child if you're born into God's family. And here's what Jesus said. Jesus said, you must be born again. You must be born again. Now, born again is a phrase that's been much abused, I think, and devalued. People advertise born again kitchens. I just had some work done in my kitchen, but I don't think it's a born again kitchen. Not really. It's a firm in Florida that advertises and wants to sell you born again auto parts. I discovered a phrase that's going around, maybe some of you know it. You can be a born-again virgin. So if it's more than a year since you last had a sexual relationship, you can call yourself, they say, a born-again virgin. But that's not what the Bible means by born-again, not at all. Listen to what Jesus said. Jesus said, flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to Spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying you must be born again. That's what Jesus said. God's children are those who have been born into God's family. In many places in the Bible, we find the language of adoption. And just think about adoption. Let's just take a moment to think about adoption. An adopted child has no right to be in the family. Her new parents have chosen her to be their child. Is that not right? I heard about a boy at school who was forever being teased because he was adopted. And eventually he couldn't stand it any longer, and he turned on his tormentors and he said, my parents chose me. Your parents didn't. They didn't have any choice about who you were. They just had you. My parents chose me. And in a way, he was right, was he not? How many unwanted children there are in the world? What a miserable situation to be in, to have parents who really don't love you and didn't really want you. How awful. But that's not the situation for an adopted child. For an adopted child, the situation's different because he knows for sure he has parents who really want him. Well, they chose to adopt him, didn't they? You can't just rock up to someone's house and say, hello, I've come to be part of your family. You need to be invited. You need to be adopted if you're going to be part of the family. Well, it's just the same with God. He chooses to adopt men and women, boys and girls, into his family. So we read, it's on your sheet there, how great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. God's love is poured out in his children, lavished on them. What a privilege to be a child of God. Now listen to what John says about Jesus in his gospel. To all who received him, Jesus, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, nor of a husband's will, but born of God. The Bible says only those who believe in Jesus Christ have a right to call God Father. Imagine with me, what will we say, a double glazing salesman rocks up on your doorstep and he rings the bell and he waits on the doorstep for you to open, and he knows he's got no claim on you to any kindness or generosity. Maybe you're going to treat him as a pain in the neck. Maybe he's going to get the door slammed in his face. He just doesn't know how he's going to be received, does he? I think by contrast about a son returning home from school, or a daughter. He doesn't hesitate. Maybe he's got his own key to the door. He runs straight in. Maybe he climbs on his father's knee, reminds him of some promise, asks him for some favor. I wonder what your relationship with God is like. I wonder, Do you have a relationship with God? Maybe you know something about God, but do you really know God? Are you a son? Are you a daughter? Have you been born into God's family? Have you been born again? Jesus said you must be born again. I guess a little child who's adopted into a family has very little say in the whole business. The adults kind of fix it up for them. With God, it's different. God invites you into his family. God invites you, and God doesn't fall in love with us. He sets his love on us. Someone has written this: God comes to us and says to us, "I love you." What does he mean? Does he mean something like this? "You mean everything to me. I can't live without you. Your personality, your beauty, your smile, everything about you transfixes me. Heaven would be boring without you." Is that what God says? Well, no, it's not. Let's be honest. God doesn't love us because we're lovely, because we're not. God doesn't love us because of what we're like. God loves us despite what we're like. Most of the time, the last thing men and women want is anything to do with God. Isn't that true? We seem to be born into this world with our eyes tight shut against God, so we can't see what he's like and we can't see what he's done. We seem to be born with our fingers in our ears, so we can't hear God's voice. And we can't understand God's call in our lives. And all the time, we're running after entertainment or money or importance or fun or something. And these things are futile substitutes for God in our lives. These are not what we were made for. It's like one of these games for little children that you see, with a board with shapes to fit into the holes. And we're busy trying to force a square shape into a round hole. We're like children trying to put the wrong shape into the hole and then bursting into tears when it won't go. And that's what the Bible calls sin. Things we try to force into our lives to take the place that is really God's place. Things we try to force into the God-shaped hole in our lives. That's what the Bible calls sin. And yet, God still loves us. God doesn't love us provided we do something for him in the future. It's not love if you go and do something for God. It's not love because of something we did for him in the past. It's not love because we've done something. Love in response to righteousness isn't love, it's reward. God's love for us is not love if, it's not love because, it's just love. Love, full stop. I love you. I wonder how often someone has said that to you, "I love you." How do you know if it's true? Words are cheap. Is it real love? Well, God has proved his love for us. God wants us in his family so much that he's done something about it. And he sent Jesus. So if you look at verse 5 in these verses that we read, we read there, "You know that he appeared," Jesus appeared, "so that he might take away our sins." Literally, it says, Jesus came to lift our sins, to carry them for us. He appeared so that he might lift our sins. In him is no sin. Jesus didn't have sins of his own. He wasn't a rebel against God. He came into this world to lift our sins, to take them, to take the blame for them. Jesus died on the cross, taking the blame for us trying to shove other things into the place in our lives where only God belongs. If you're here this evening and you know you don't yet belong in God's family, we're delighted you came. Thank you for listening. Thank you for coming along. If you've heard God speaking to you tonight, or if you're here and you're just not quite sure where you stand, don't go home without speaking to somebody. Here we are, we're the church family. We'd love to have you as a brother or a sister in the church family. Speak to someone about it. Or pick up some of the leaflets at the door. They're free if you'll read them. God's love for his children is wonderful. Don't miss out on this invitation to be part of his family, to be adopted into God's family. Let me end by telling you a true story. It's a story about a teenage girl who lived in a middle-class suburb in New York, and she was a complete tearaway. She was always in trouble. And one day, she was found in the school playground selling drugs, and she was immediately expelled. And she couldn't face telling her parents what had happened, and she got in a tram, and she just decided to go wherever the tram took her, and it took her right down into downtown New York. Well, a month passed, no sign of her. 2 months, 3 months. And her parents were absolutely distraught. They searched everywhere. They put a notice in the local newspaper. They went in the local radio. Nothing, not a sign of their daughter. And in desperation, her mother printed out a photograph of herself and copied it 100 times and went round all the clubs and bars in downtown New York, putting it on the bar tables in each place she went. And the very night she did that, her daughter turned up in the club where she'd been working as a dancer. And she couldn't believe her eyes. There on the table was a photograph of her mother on the bar table in that seedy club. And she picked it up and she turned it over. And there on the back was a message. It said, "Wherever you are, whatever you've done, come home." Wherever you are, whatever you've done, come home. And the girl's eyes filled with tears, and she grabbed her coat, and she got in the tram, and she went home. Well, if you're here this evening, and you're not yet a child in God's family, if you're not sure, let me invite you tonight to come home. Whatever you've done, wherever you are, whatever you've got to in your life, however much you've tried to shut God out, whatever you've tried to push into the God-shaped hole in your life and it doesn't work, turn round and come home. Don't go home tonight without sorting it out. If God's been speaking to you, come and speak to me or speak to James. Pick up some of the literature at the door. Speak to Stephen about our Christianity Explored. But don't go home without sorting it out. If you're not yet a child of God and God has been speaking to you, come home. Get right with God. He's inviting you tonight. Don't let the opportunity go past. Thank you for listening.